This morning I want to give you just a few thoughts in parting in the book of Psalms, chapter number 8. If you'd stand with us and we'll honor the reading of the Word of God, which is our custom here. In the book of Psalms, chapter number 8. And I will be brief in the preaching this morning, but thank you all for everybody that's prayed for our family this week and well, how God has helped us. Psalms chapter number 8, verse number 4 I'll deal with for the sake of time. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Thank you for standing this morning in reference to the Word of God. Father, I sure do need you today. Pray you'd let me be a blessing to the hearts of your people. Thank you for stirring. Thank you for moving in our church this morning. Thank you, God, for breaking hard hearts. And thank you, Lord, for tender and tender hearts. Thank you for the good message we've already heard today. Lord, help me now these few minutes. In Christ's name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. I'm interested today in a text verse of number 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? I want to preach on this subject. What is man? What is man? If we could go into our Bibles, we're going to find, first of all, the Bible teaches us of the generation of man. The generation of man. And you'll find in Genesis 1 and verse number 26, here the Bible says, and God said, let us, who's that? Well, that's the Trinity. He's a triune God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air. I hate it for them tree huggers, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Boy, you know this morning there's the generation of man. God made man. Evolution is not in our Bible, but creation is in our Bible. You'll notice he said in verse number 26, God made man to do three basic things. Number one, he made man to reflect the image of God. He said this in verse 26. Did you notice the reading? And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now that does not mean that we are exactly like God. Rather, it means that we reflect who and what he is. God is a triune God. Did you know that man is a triune being? I want you to stay in the text. I'll read for you, but you can put it in your notes. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, we see the man being triune. He said, 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, and the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly, and I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God made us for reflection, that we may reflect the image of God. You'll notice that there is the Spirit. It makes us God conscious. You see, when God breathed in man, the Bible said that he became a living soul. The Spirit makes us God conscious, and the soul makes us self-conscious. It is our desires or our emotions. Thirdly, we have our body, which it makes us sense conscious. That is our touch, our feel, our taste, and our smell. But certainly God created man for reflection. I think a lot of times it is God's desire that we'd be conformed to the image of His Son. And so therefore in the creation of man and this generation of man, God made us to reflect His image. Number two, not only did He make us to reflect, but in verse 26, He made us to rule. He said that we would have dominion over the fish of the sea. Isn't it bad when we live in a country and it says, save the whales but kill the babies? You know, isn't it amazing that we would have dominion over this earth, that we would rule and reign over it, that we were to rule. God made His creatures to rule over what He had made. You see, I want to say today we live in a big controversy now in our gun legislation and laws, but I want to say this, and I'm not going to be political today, but I will say a few things my right to say as a pastor of this church. You know, guns don't kill people no more than cars kill people. Drunk drivers kill people and idiots kill people. It's not the cars or the gun. That's like saying that a pencil will misspell a word. I know some of y'all rednecks are like that this morning. You see, it's not the pencil, neighbor. It's the one that's got a hold to the pencil. And so what it is, we've got a morale problem in our country. We've got a conscience problem in our country where men and women, it seems like that no longer is there any wrongs. God made us in His image that we may reflect Him. And not only that we may reflect, that we may rule. And then thirdly, in here in the creation of man, not only did He make us to reflect Him and to rule for Him, but He made us, in verse 28, to reproduce. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Same-sex marriage is out of hell this morning. There is no way that two of the same gender can reproduce. God's order, the Bible way, is a man and a woman to be united in marriage. And can I tell you, that marriage is still holy today in the eyes of the Lord. This Bible would cure a lot of our problems if we would get back to the road map. You see, when you leave the GPS, you leave the guidance that God has established, you're going to get off track. And I promise you this, when you get off track, it's hard to get back on track. But we see the generation of man. You know, let's think a minute about a mirror. When you look in a mirror, what you see is not another you, but a reflection of me and you. But once you leave that, that reflection is gone, and it has no real life apart from you. So it is with God. Leads me to my second point this morning. Not only the generation of man, but there is a degeneration of man. And that's where our problem comes in our society. Have you ever noticed you've not had to teach your children to lie, but you've had to teach them to tell the truth? You've not had to teach them to not do their homework, but to do their homework. Because I tell you, we all have an issue. It goes all the way back to where I'm preaching from this morning. Matter of fact, in Genesis 2 and verse number 8, if you'll follow along with me, God had something to say. God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there He put the man who He had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted and become into four heads. And He says what they were. He said there was gold there. Then He said this. In verse 16, or in 15, the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou shalt eatest thereof, and underline this, thou shalt surely die. The Lord God said, verse 18, He made a woman from the side of Adam. And then we find in chapter number 3, verse 1, there was a serpent, or the devil came along, and the Bible said he was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now, in this degeneration of man, I want you to notice God had laid the groundworks, and we find the first thou shalt not in our Bible in Genesis 2 and 17. Can I tell you, church, we don't need a new Bible. We need to live out of this and we've got. What's so hard about thou shalt not? It's easy to understand, but sometimes it's hard to do, is it not? And the reason is because we're going in this degeneration of man. Man's not getting better, but he's getting worse all the time. Have you noticed this? The older you get in the Lord, this old man, this flesh man, seems like the older you get, the worse he wants to do. I'd have thought, I've been saved now 30-something years, I thought it'd be a whole lot easier to keep this flesh under subjection. And I know some of you have arrived, but I hadn't got there yet. I'm still hunting a way to get this thing tamed down. Somebody pulls out in front of me, I still won't shake my, roll my window down, or push my window down in this generation and shake my fist at them and tell them what a thank. Then a bumper sticker on the back says, follow me down to Liberty Baptist Church. I'm a good Christian, amen. But I have problems with this flesh. Why do we have these kind of problems? It's because of the degeneration of man. You'll notice that the Bible teaches us this, and you can hold your place. I'll read it for you because I've got it marked. In Romans chapter number 5, there's a verse that fits this topic on the degeneration of man. In Romans 5 and verse number 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. You know why there's graveyards? Sin. And so death passed upon all men. You know why? For that all have sinned. Now he says, wherefore is by one man sin entered the world. Who's he talking about? He's simply talking about Adam. Adam has a choice. God made Adam to have a will or a choice. God has made everybody in this building to have a will and a choice. And we have a choice. We have an option. But you'll notice in this garden there, in this degeneration of men, there was a sudden fall. And then this sudden fall takes us right into Genesis chapter number 3. And I want to show you where this fall happened at. The Bible said in verse 4 of Genesis 3, the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not die. God's told you not to take of this tree of knowledge of good and evil." And so he's trying to bring trickery on her. I want to stop right here and I want to make a statement. I want you to always understand this. The devil came to her with a temptation. Remember this. Temptation is simply a visitation from sin. When you have a temptation, remember this, sin is on the other end of it. Temptation is a visitation from sin. Now, Eve had a visitation from sin. The Bible said this, verse 5, "For God doth know that the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened." Verse 6, now here's our three issues. "When the woman saw the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." Now here the Bible teaches us in 1 John 2 and 16, there are three issues that we all face because of this fall in the garden. Nothing's changed. First of all, there is the lust of the flesh. There's the lust of the eyes. And there is the pride of life. You know why people don't accept Christ more than what they do a lot of times? It's because of pride. Did you know that pride is one of the six things that God lists in the book of Proverbs? God is not in the pride business. Matter of fact, that's the way Lucifer was cast out of heaven. He said, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." And God said, "No, I won't be your co-pilot. I'll not ride in the back seat. I'm going to run the show." And he cast Lucifer out of heaven. And guess where he fell? Where me and you live. And therefore he came to Eve and he tempted her. She took of the fruit. Now, isn't this amazing? Isn't this just like the devil? Listen to me, young families. This is just like the devil. He didn't show her what she had. He simply showed her one thing that she could not have. Look at everything that they had. There's a lot of people wish they could go back and look at what they had. A lot of times the devil, he'll show us that one thing that we can't have. And it's our nature. It's in us now. Be careful. It's in us to want exactly to do what we're not supposed to be doing. And you may say, "Well, now, Pastor, I'm not there. I'm above that." Well, you hold on. Because if you live long enough, you're going to find out you're not bulletproof. And there's none good, no, not one. If it was not for the righteousness of Christ that has been applied to my life by grace through faith, I would die and go to a devil's hell. Because there's no good in me. But I'm glad there's somebody perfect living in me. I thank God He washed me from my sins. Put my name down yonder in glory land. And oh, I'm glad that he cannot sin that inner man. But boy, this on the outside's what causes our problems.
And you'll notice not only the generation of man, but the degeneration of man. There was a fall in the garden. Now let me, Mom and Daddies, I want to help our church. I want to be real plain. Give me about 10 more minutes. I'm going to be done today. But let me tell you something. Your little angelic beings on your bench is really little devils in disguise. I know you don't think yours can't do that. But you just wait till they get up and get out of sight of you. And some of you allow it to be done in the sight of you. But I'm going to tell you something. It's in the nature. That's why we better not. We better not be a people nor a church that laughs at somebody or points a finger at somebody when this flesh has gotten the best of them. I'm not promoting doing wrong. I'm just saying it's liable to be in all of us. Aren't you glad He said, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. If we will yield to Christ, if we'll submit to the Word of God, we can live a life that is holy and respectable in the sight of God. We must live it by faith. And therefore, there was the generation of man. Everything was great. Everything was in harmony. Boy, could you imagine what the Garden of Eden would have been like? Can you imagine? Isn't it amazing when Adam and Eve sinned? They seen they were naked. They never knew that till they sinned. One of the writers said from the book of Psalms, I think it may be chapter 94 or 104, he said, God has a garment of light clothed about Him. No man's never seen God at any time. His holiness and His brightness is so big, we cannot see God. Some of the old commentators said that Adam and Eve was robed in the likeness of God. But when they sinned, there was a fall that transpired, and it goes all the way back from my bloodline and your bloodline. And I don't care, honey, if you come from the pauper or from the royals. It all stems back to one place where we all got this nature. And it's the garden. And that's why, you know, I've never enjoyed nobody thought they was on a limb above me. Because there's none good, no, not one. I know this church looks fancy. I thank God we got a nice place to go to church. But honey, let me tell you, it ain't nobody here today bigger than nobody else. It's nobody here without the grace of God. If you've got something good to write in, you ought to shout about it. If you've got a good job, you ought to thank God for it. If you've got babies well and doing good, you ought to raise your hands toward glory and say, God, in spite of what I am, in spite of what I've done, you've been good to me, and you deserve all the honor and all the praise today. A degeneration of man. A lot of people say, well, I want to go find myself. Me and Miss Renee's got a place at the lake. I think we've been to it one time this year about it. You know why I don't go down there, Brother Tim? I don't like being by myself. She won't go. She won't get away from the grandbabies long enough to let them do nothing. Now I know why you grandparents are crazy. I'm one of you now. Wouldn't it have been a blessing if we could raise grandbabies before we raised our young'uns? Amen. But I don't like what I find when I find myself. Because it's like what the preacher preached last Sunday. One of the greatest days in our life, the way God breaks us and molds us, is to show us we're human. God allows temptations. And when we fall for that temptation, you know what it does? It shows us we're not bulletproof. But aren't you glad there's a God in heaven said this, Brother Kevin? He said this. It's in my Bible. I read it quite often. He said, if I'd confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. There's the generation of man. There's the degeneration of man that come from a fall. But did you notice what God done?
When they sinned in the garden, the Bible said, God come walking in the cool of the day, and all of a sudden God steps in and He says, Adam. Didn't call Eve, did He? Adam, where art thou? You know what they'd done? They'd went to a tree or a bush and they'd made them a garment out of vegetation. Bible said they'd went and He said, where you been, boy? He said, I've been hiding from you. You know what sin will make you want to do around God if you're not right? It'll make you want to get away from God instead of getting to God this morning. But ain't you glad there's a God that sits on His throne that's got a voice that calls to His children when we do wrong and we're afraid? He says, Ken, where art thou? Adam, where art thou? Where are you today? He said, I's hiding myself. He said this in the Bible, first time the word is ever mentioned. He said in Genesis 3, He says this, verse number 9, the Lord God called Adam, said to him, where art thou? He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. That takes me to the last point. Not only the generation of man and the degeneration of man, but I sure am glad there's a regeneration of man. The most religious, and this is where America's in trouble. This is where you'll get in trouble if you're not real careful. You'll think that religion will get you to heaven. Being good. I want to ask you something. We believe in eternal security. We believe what Jesus has done for us and in us, He has done forever. The Bible teaches that. The Bible says we can't work our way into heaven. A lot of people think, well, you can be baptized and go to heaven. A lot of people think, well, when you're baptized, it washes away your sin. Well, I want to ask you this question. I got baptized at 12. What happened with all them sins the other 40 years? The water ain't touched them, has it? But the grace of God has. Nicodemus, the most religious man in the Bible, came to Jesus by night. He said, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things except God be with him. And Jesus didn't talk about his denomination. He didn't try to convert him to be Baptist. Even though John the Baptist was right over there on the corner. Let me give y'all a thought right quick. I can run the Baptist faith all the way to 33. Not A.D. or B.C. He said, John the Baptist. But now let me get back on track. He didn't say you ought to be converted and become a Baptist. And I am a Baptist from by my head, by my feet. But He said, ye must be born again. And then he had a logical question. Miss Julie, I want you to come this morning and sing. Had a very logical question. He's old. I don't know how old he is. But I can tell you this morning. You listen to this old country preacher. It's better older than never. Amen. This is what Nicodemus said in John 3. How can a man be born again when he's old? Jesus told him. He said, you must be born of the Spirit. Then He said in John 3:16, one of the greatest verses in our Bible, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And I love this word. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Life more abundantly. Young people, look up here at your preacher this morning. Somebody tell you being a Christian's not fun. I'm having the time of my life. I'm not waking up wondering how I got there. I'm not wondering if I'm going to be eat up with a deadly disease because of my wickedness. I've got fellowship with the Lord Jesus, and there's nothing like it. I've done things I'm not proud of. But what I was looking for is what Adam was missing, was the peace of God. I tried everything in this world. Everything from weed to a bottle to a career. Nothing satisfied. You say, preacher, Nicodemus gets saved. He sure did. Did Adam get saved? He sure did. God clothed him with skins there. Had to be the shedding of blood. Can I tell you, it's still by the blood this morning. Still by the blood. And if you're here on the sound of my voice, God died for you. The Lord Jesus Christ got on the cross and hung for your sin and my sin. That's why He said you must be born again. Mary and Joseph went back to Jerusalem to worship. Remember, book of Luke, they lost Him. They turned back looking for Him. You know where they found Him? In the temple. You know what He said? Shouldn't I be about my Father's business? Can I tell you, the Lord Jesus was born of a virgin, come walked in this world for 33 some odd years and got on the cross and died for you. You know why? Because Adam plunged us all in the garden, in the depth of sin. But aren't you glad God had a plan? God had a promise. He said, if any man would come to me, I'd in no wise cast him out. That's a promise to me. Sir, can I ask you something this morning? Ma'am, could I ask you something just as respectfully as I know how to ask you? Why won't you trust Christ to be your Savior? There's a verse that's so important before our sister sings. In Romans 5 and verse 18, it sort of brings the whole sermon into focus, puts it in an envelope, puts it in the box. In Romans 15, verse number 18, here He's talking. Romans 5 and 18, look what it says. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came on all men to condemnation. But even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. You see that? Be made righteous. You got to be born again. I don't care who you are or where you are. Christ gives you a gospel invitation. Come. You know why? Because He said, Jesus is the way. Not some way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me, is what Jesus said. He said, if you're getting there, you're getting there because you're going to trust me to get you there. Have you ever done that? The generation of man. The degeneration of man. But thank God for the regeneration of man. He died for you. You can be saved this morning. Stand with us around the house this morning as my sister sings. Would this be the morning that you would be willing to accept Christ by faith? Would you simply step out and come to an old-fashioned altar, kneel, and ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you and save you? He lives for you today and He loves you. While we sing, would you?